Today, our World Cafe Sense of Place visit to Memphis continues with a stop at Royal Studios, where Al Green and many others recorded for High Records. Let's Stay Together, Tired of Being Alone, You Ought to Be with Me, and all of Al Green's hits in the 70s were recorded there working with arranger and producer Willie Mitchell, who passed away in 2010. Today, we talk with Willie's son, Lawrence Boo Mitchell, who, honoring his father's wishes, has kept Royal as a working studio. I asked Boo about the beginnings of Royal and if, like Stax Studio, it was also formerly a movie theater.
Yeah, absolutely. It was opened in 1915 as the Shamrock Theater, and sometime in the mid-30s it became the Royal Theater, and it stayed a theater up until 1949, I believe. And then it stayed empty, and a local record shop and jukebox owner by the name of Joe Coogie bought it in 56 and turned it into a studio in 57.
And your father was not an original owner. He came on as an arranger and musician?
Yeah, he did his first session there in 1959 for a label called Home of the Blues that was based on Beale Street. And in the mid to late 50s, my dad, he had like the most famous instrumental band at the time. And the owner, Joe Coogie, would go and see him perform at the Manhattan Club every weekend. And I think he signed my father to High Records, which was based out of Royal Studios in 1961.
Now, originally, High was pretty much an instrumental label, right?
Yeah, it was. A lot of people thought that HI stood for Hit Instrumentals because they had Bill Black's combo. Bill Black was Elvis's bass player over at Sun Studios, and he started putting out his own instrumentals when High Records and Royal Studios opened. And my father followed suit and had a lot of success in the mid-60s.
Absolutely. Now, you know, each kind of studio in Memphis has a distinctive sound, and it kind of goes with an era. And, you know, you've been around it a long time. How would you describe the sound that High Records that your father got out of Royal Studios?
I think the sound was, I'd call it an intimate kind of in-your-face sound. You know, it's like when Papa first started recording there in the late 50s, he never liked the way his record sounded. But back in those days, he wasn't a formally trained engineer, and the current engineer there would never let him, you know, touch the board. But after some successful record selling on my dad's part, he bought out the engineer in the mid-60s and started experimenting with the room to change the sound, and he got it perfected like the way he wanted it in 69, which is the way you saw it. And the first record that was recorded with the new configuration was Al Green's Tired of Being Alone, The kind of High Records sound that everybody's, you know, used to, is the Al Green and People's thing.
Now, my question is always, how much is it the studio and how much is it his amazing musicians that he attracted with the Hodges and Howard Grimes? And, of course, Al Jackson was playing those drums that he got this amazing sound on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I always tell people it's just one of the 11 herbs and spices that makes up the thing. You know, it's a lot of it's the studio, and then a lot of it's the musicians as well. They have their own sound and vibe, and when you put those things together, then you know you get what's on all those records.
Now, the best examples, of course, are the Al Green recordings, but Ann Peebles was recording at Royal before Al?
Yes. Yeah, Ann started I think it was about 68 when her first recordings were done. And Al had his first success in 70.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there was Ovi Wright records that were done there before Al. There was a lot of Ike and Tina Turner records done. James Carr's Dark End of the Street was done there. There was Chuck Berry, Charlie Rich did some recordings there in the mid-60s. So, there was a lot of stuff that went on there before kind of before Al Green, that's maybe a little less known.
Mm-hmm. Now, your father was responsible for bringing Al to Memphis?
Yeah, it was my father's, probably his most successful instrumental record was Soul Serenade, and that was done in 1968, and he was doing a show in Midland, Texas at the time, and Al Green was the opening act for it, and the story goes that Al needed to, he was trying to get some, borrow some money to get back to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and my dad told, heard him, he was like, man, if you come back to Memphis with me, I can make you a star in 18 months, and Al's initial answer was, that's too long, so they loaded up the van and the show was over and got ready to leave. And here comes Al knocking on the window. It's like, hey, man, I'll go back to Memphis with you. And so they drive back to Memphis. And Pop said Al didn't say anything the whole time. And when they got there, Al was like, man, if you want to do this star thing, I need $1,500 to, take care of some business so I can come back. And my dad borrowed the money from one of the High Records owners and didn't hear from him for about 2 or 3 months. So 2 or 3 months later, Al shows up at the house one day, and Pop was getting work done, converting the carport into a den or something. This guy knocks on the door with a bag, and Pop didn't recognize him. He thought he was a carpenter. And he's like, well, the guys are in the back working. And he's like, oh, man, I'm Al Green. So that's how it all got started. And they started cutting records after that.
We're talking with Boo Mitchell, who is Willie Mitchell's son and now runs Royal Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. What was your dad like working with artists? I mean, it's one thing to get the thing sounding right, but then you got to get the artist kind of primed too.
Yeah, he had this real gift of pulling the best out of people. You, as a producer, you kind of have to know which button to push. Because him and Al, they had some of their historic recordings was the Let's Stay Together record, and Pop didn't want Al was kind of singing hard a little bit, like maybe Sam and Dave and Otis Redding, and Pop kept going, man, I want Al Green, and Al was like, well, I don't know who Al Green is, and after some negotiation I'll say it took him about 3 days, and I think Al was just completely upset by the time he sang it and started singing it soft, and Pop was like, that's it, man, that's it.
We're talking with Boo Mitchell, who now runs Royal Studio. Now, it's interesting. A lot of the studios in Memphis are museums, you know, and Royal is a working studio, and if you ever get a chance to see it, it is not doesn't seem like it's changed a whole lot from back in the day. Was that your dad's wish?
Yes, it was. You know, he always told me that. He was like, man, never turn this place into a museum. It's a studio. It's made for cutting records. And, you know, that's what he wanted. So that's what we do.
There's a lot of talk about the rhythm section on the old High Records, but there's also something that your dad was intimately involved in, was putting the horns and strings on things. And what was his philosophy with that?
Well, his because he was a trumpet player, you know, he always had a special relationship with the horns, you know, even till, you know, up before he passed away, just how he would record the horns and talk to them and arrange them and stuff. He always described he wanted his sound to be sunshine on top and thunder on the bottom, and the sunshine being, you know, the sprinkling of the horns and the strings.
Mm. Boo, when did you start hanging out in the studio?
I started hanging out probably when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Wow.
It was Star Wars. It just came out. I think it was about 78. And I went to the movies to see it, and it looked like the studio to me. I was like, man, it looks like where Pop works.
So, big control desk, right?
And people sitting
behind it. Yeah.
So I think I was infected after then. So I would spend my summers at the studio. And every chance I got, you know, he'd work long hours, and I'd fall asleep, you know, behind the board or under the board or something. So,
yeah. Now, there's been some, you've brought a bunch of people into the studio since then. I know Cody Chestnut's record landed on 100. He recorded that there. What do people think when they walk in, and what do they want? Are they trying to recreate a sound, or are they just, what are they looking for?
You know, some people come there, what I call chasing the ghost. A friend of mine says it all the time. They're chasing the ghost, you know, trying to get that sound. But the studio is really, it has its own, it has so much vibe that it's, people come there and get inspired. You know, we get a lot of people that come for one thing and end up doing a whole lot more than they planned on doing, just because of the energy of the building. You know, people will come, well, we're just going to do one song, and then, you know, they end up doing six songs. It happens all the time. So,
And speaking of chasing ghosts, can people sing into Al's mic?
You know, that's there's been very few people to sing into the microphone. Cody Chestnut was one.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did. John Mayer was another one. You know, it just depends on, you know, the vibe of the session and the energy of the person. You know, and some people ask to sing on, some people don't. You know. Mm. But whenever the feeling's right, you know, we let them sing on it. Just, and there's other things too, like, we are finishing up recordings on Boz Scaggs's new album, and, I've never used the, Willie Mitchell, drum miking on anybody. And, you know, Steve Jordan was there. You know, we pulled out a kit that was used on Love and Happiness that we've had just in storage forever, and we decided to pull it out. And, you know, I always told Steve Jordan that he would be the first one to play it. So we pulled it out on this Boz thing, and he's like, okay, now how did Willie mic the drums? I was like, well, man, if I tell you that, I'm going to have to kill you. And he's like, come on, man. So, you know, I did, you know, the famous Willie Mitchell configuration, and it just, the sound was amazing. It just sounded like you were back in time on one of those, you know, Al Green or Ann Peoples High records.
Thanks to Boo Mitchell for talking with us and for keeping Royal alive. Boz Scaggs is releasing that album, He Cut It Royal, appropriately called Memphis, on March 5th. And here is a special World Cafe preview of Boz Scaggs' version of Mink DeVille's song, Mixed Up, Shook Up Girl, produced by Steve Jordan.
Candles lit, eyes are slit, jumping around, paperclip, make a move, sail a ship, tap it in now, ruby lips, she mixed up, shook up, girl, got me so strung out, I don't know.
Mixed Up, Shook Up Girl by Boz Scaggs, recorded at Royal Studios from Boz Scaggs' upcoming album Memphis, out March 5th. As Boo Mitchell mentioned, another recent client at Royal who used Al Green's microphone was R&B singer Cody Chestnut, whose new album, Landing on 100, is his return to music after a decade, and an album that honors the great R&B recordings of the 1970s. In a recent interview, I asked Cody Chestnut about how he ended up choosing Royal.
Actually, it started out with us looking for the most affordable rates for analog recording. But once we got there, we realized it was, you know, completely the best choice because the vibe of the place, as you know, you said you were there, it just grabs you, you know, as soon as you walk in the door, and especially the live room, you know. Everybody that walked in, you know, from the band that walked into the live room was just kind of overwhelmed, you know, people had chills and, you know, it was a bit much. I think everybody took all of that, the energy in the room, the history of it all, you know, and brought that to the performance of the record. So it definitely wound up being the best choice. And even before that, I think what really set the tone for the entire sessions, because we did it in 3 days, we visited the Lorraine Motel.
Mm.
And so everyone went there and just kind of, you know, took that experience to heart as well and kind of became kind of centered and focused and walked into Royal Studios. And that was just, you know, icing on the cake. And everybody just, I think, you know, really transmitted all of this to the music on the record.
Yeah, the Lorraine Motel is actually the setting of the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. And that is an amazingly powerful experience.
It is indeed, yeah.
And
where Dr. King was assassinated, can't leave that out.
Yeah, it's a heartrending experience in so many ways. So did you get to sing into Al's microphone?
Yeah, we did. I actually used it as, you know, for the guide vocals, you know, to guide the band through the tracks, to give them, you know, whatever cues they needed. And so I think we may have kept a few things from it, but for the most part, it was to, you know, just to guide the band through the tracks, you know. And we started with another mic, but Boo felt like, you know, he liked my voice and said, well, just in case, you know, you capture something you want to keep, you should use this microphone. And so once he brought the number 9 out, you know, the RCA microphone out, you know, everybody was just blown away because, you know, that's the mic that Love and Happiness and Let's Stay Together and, you know, tons of hits was recorded with. Yeah, so it was a moving experience all around.
Till I Met Thee from Cody Chestnut's Landing on 100. And thanks to Cody for talking with us about Royal Studios. Our Sense of Place visit to Memphis and to Royal Studios continues with the man himself. We'll talk with Al Green when we get right back here to the World Cafe.